Thank you, Daryl and Praise Team, and thank you for being here tonight. It's always a joy to get to share from God's Word. I invite you to turn with me to Genesis 28 as we continue our journey through the foundations of our faith reading. If you haven't gotten one of the little devotional books, I think they came back in. There may be a few available at the Welcome Center at the conclusion of the service today, but some of you say, well, you know, I'm just not really into doing a lot of journaling or writing or, you know, like that. Just at least get one of the little daily Bible reading plans that go with the foundations reading. And you can be reading the same passages that we're reading. And God can just lay on your heart anything significant, as He always hopefully does as we read through our Bibles devotionally. But our church has kind of pledged together for this year to kind of go through these foundational readings. And there's 260 foundational passages that are given there. That's 5 days of reading every week. And so you've got a couple of days. If you skip a day, you won't get too far behind. You can get caught up like that. And we encourage you to do that. As Brother Don was emphasizing the importance of God's Word this morning, in just our mission statement of our church, that we seek to instruct others in the Word of God. You can't instruct anyone in the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God. You can't share the Word of God unless you spent time with the God of the Word. And so it's so vital that we fulfill our calling and we spend time with God, even out of overflow. Doesn't have to be a formal thing. So wonderful how God will open opportunities up to you when you prepare your heart for God. I heard at the evangelism conference this last week down at First Baptist Geyer Springs that a group of us, some of us went to, one of the pastors illustrated it this way, and I've heard it illustrated this way before. Every morning when you spend time with God, you're setting your sails. You're setting your sails, and you're asking the wind of the Spirit to blow in them throughout the day. But if you don't spend that time with God, then you've never set your sails. And so God would call on us each day to spend time with Him and set our sails so that we would be in a place and in a position that He could use us and speak to us in marvelous ways to encourage other people. So our text tonight is Genesis 28. Last week we studied Abraham and we got into Isaac, and we're not going to devote a whole sermon at this point to Isaac. He's kind of between these two. The man last week, he was, as we see that, he was Abraham's son. And now tonight we're going to jump into Jacob, and he was Jacob's father. And so that's a wonderful succession of the faith. And they were the patriarchs, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we hear repetitively mentioned throughout God's Word. And so I've entitled this message tonight. It's used in two different places, and you probably picked up on it in some of your reading. In chapter 32, verse 28, and chapter 35, verse 10, God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And He says, "Israel shall be your name." And what we see here before us tonight unfolding in the life of Jacob is the making of a nation. The making of a nation, the people of God, God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, in whom, as we'll see even tonight, the whole world will be blessed. The whole world will be blessed. God continues to call a people to be His people, His chosen people. So it's beautiful to see it playing out in the lives of these Old Testament saints, the faithful ones, as we see. So let me begin reading in verse 10 of Genesis 28. Jacob left Beersheba, and he went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place, and he stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head, and he lay down in the place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, and he set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. And Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. And I pray you'll just help this passage come alive in our hearts. And Lord, speak to us. There's so many truths that you reveal to us through any passage in your word. But Father, tonight you've led us here. We thank you for our foundations readings that our church family has agreed together to be a part of. And I pray that many more will join us on this journey as we seek ourselves, Lord, to draw ourselves closer to you. We pray you will just reveal yourself to lives tonight as only you can through the preaching of your word, through your precious Holy Spirit that you bless us with. It's in his name, in the name of your son Jesus, we pray. Amen. So as we look at this and we see this wonderful passage of scripture, Israel shall be your name. As we look at this, we're talking about Jacob. Now, a little bit of background on chapter 28 and even back into 27. Jacob had went and stole the blessing from his brother Esau. As you know, his father was old. His father was getting very fragile and frail. His father's sight was not what it should be. And his mom was in on this. But Jacob, we see as we understand this, his name simply means, the name Jacob means he cheats. Kind of interesting. Some have kind of given alternate meanings or an expanded meaning of that. He's a schemer. He's a deceiver. He's the one who cheats other people. And that was kind of his heritage. And that was kind of the way people saw him, because that's just the way he was. And his mother had helped him to scheme through this scheme. And as his brother Esau had gone out to hunt and bring his dad this special soup in that his dad always loved, because Esau was the hunter, but Jacob was the homeboy. He was the one that was kind of his mother's boy, so to speak. And so Jacob was there, and his mother put him up to this, and he fell for it, and he decided to go forward with it. And so we see him here tonight. We see him fleeing from his angry brother, and we see him heading to an uncertain future. You know, even in the process of all of his scheming, God was interweaving all throughout his life and preparing him for the man of God that he would become. And so we're going to see tonight, and you've read hopefully this week, and if you hadn't, you can get caught up and you can read all the way up through chapter 35, where he'll come back to this very place that we mentioned to you here tonight, the place called Bethel, the house of God, and there would be 20 years that would lapse in his life. He would be married to four wives, two wives and their servants, and God would start to give him all the children who we know now as the tribes of the nation of Israel. And so his was Jacob. as we see this. So first of all, I want us to notice tonight, as I've already started, in our very first point here in the first few verses, verse 10, 11, and 12, I just want us to see that it was a very sobering situation. And we sometimes find ourselves in sobering situations. Maybe, you know, we see that the passage tells us that Jacob left Beersheba and he was running from his brother. His brother Esau was trying to kill him. Hopefully you haven't angered anyone bad enough that they're out for blood on you. I hope you hadn't done that. If you have, you need to find someone to help you reconcile that and make restitution. But Jacob was just scared and he left, and Rebekah even went to his father before he passed away, and he said to him, I don't want Jacob to marry someone from here, but I want him to marry someone from my homeland. Don't want him to marry some of these heathenistic people that are around us. And so that was part of God's plan too. He set out on this journey. Not only was he running from his angry brother, but he was going to a land he knew not of to find him a wife. And so we see that, and we see how God worked in that situation, in that circumstance. And so he was running from God, and it says here in verse 11 that he came to a certain place, and he stayed there tonight because the sun was setting. Now, this place was unknown to him, and he was running from God. But God knew right where he was. And this is going to be his first major encounter with God. It's going to forever change his life and set the course of his life and change everything in his life. And so as he came to that place, and that just kind of stuck out to me this week when I was thinking about that sobering situation. Maybe we find ourselves, and literally the text goes on to talk about how he was going to settle down for that night, taking one of those stones of that place, he put it under his head, and he was about to lay down in that place to sleep. Now, only God really knows, but we can imagine what was going on in this man's heart and in this man's head when he laid down to sleep that night. And he was literally, he found himself between a rock and a hard place. He used a rock at his pillow that evening. And he was struggling inwardly with how this was going to play out in his life. And so he found himself in this sobering situation. It was not a good situation that he found himself in. And then we see in this that the Bible tells us that he began to dream as he was in this place in verse 12. And behold, he says there was a ladder that was set up. And he said, in this ladder, and this is kind of a wonderful passage that's kind of one of those hallmark passages that we talk about, Jacob's dream and that ladder ascending up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending back and forth on it. And so it just kind of pulls back the curtains a little bit, and it lets us see once again God's ministering spirits, how active they are ascending and descending right up until the gates of heaven, as we would see this. And so God began to share with Jacob and began to help Jacob understand who he was, and he was showing him. And we're going to see even later as Jacob comes back to this place, once again, after 20 years of being away from this place, God actually showed him some more angels that would lead him back in to the land of promise. You know, Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that these angels are servants of God and they're ministering spirits. I don't know all the full implications of that they played in this dream, but they awoke Jacob to the place in his dreaming state that he could really understand exactly that this was something very special that was happening to him. And so as the text goes on, we see Jacob in the middle of this sobering situation. And I just want to pause just before we move on and just say, I don't know what you've been struggling with and what you've been running from and what situation or circumstance you find yourself in. But I promise you, if you're seeking after God and you're sincerely opening your life up to God, there will come a place that God will begin to reveal himself to you. And those places become very special to us. And so Jacob was fixing to have his whole world turned upside down. He had been maybe misguided and influenced a little bit by others. He himself was this schemer. He was a cheater. He was deceitful. But God was fixing to intervene in his life. Isn't God's grace amazing? How he has the ability to wake us up in our sobering situations. And it kind of sounds like an oxymoron to kind of use that in that way, because it says he went to sleep, but it was in the middle of his sleep that spiritually he began to wake up. In the middle of his dream, God began to move him from this sobering situation into a redeeming revelation. He began to reveal himself to him. And so we're told in the very next verse, in verse 13, "Behold, the Lord stood above it." Above what? Above that ladder. That ladder led right into the presence of God. "And behold, he stood above it, and he introduced himself to Jacob, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" And then he ends the revelation by saying, "And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." What a redeeming revelation that was. This was just totally turning Jacob's world upside down as we see this, as God was revealing himself to him. Now God reveals himself to us as we open our lives up and we seek him. He may not do it in exactly the way he did with Jacob on this occasion. You remember God was speaking in different ways to them in that era and that day and age, because it was prior to just the full completion of the scriptures, the word of God that we're blessed with today to have us and to help us. But as you see this, the first thing God revealed to him is just who he is. He said, "I am the Lord God. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac." And so he revealed himself. "I am the God of your father and your grandfather. I am the God of your spiritual heritage." And so what an awareness that was. Many of us have been blessed with parents and grandparents that have passed down the faith from generation to generation, and we need to be so thankful for that. But there comes a day in our age and in our lives and our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives when they can't hang on the coattails of mom and dad's faith. Their faith has to become their faith. And they have to open their lives up to God. And we can pray for them and we can point them in the right direction. But only God can encounter them the way God was encountering Jacob on this day. And it was becoming very real to Jacob. And he was beginning to get it on a whole new level. And this was going to be the beginning of his journey of faith, as God was going to be guiding him into the place that he would actually find his wives, and he would end up bringing children into the world. And then God would literally, in the end, bring him back to the homeland, the land of the promise that he had promised him. So he told him, "I am the God. I've been faithful in the past to you and to your generations before you. But now God says, I'm going to give you some promises for the future." And that's what we stand on, the promises of God. All of us do. You know, I'm so excited about just, more and more, I get the sense of how important it is, even at this stage and phase of my life, to try to pass on my faith to my children continually. And my children are quite a bit older by now. Two of them are in here tonight, so I have to be real careful what I say. And I think about that. The men's ministry here is fixing to start a new 33 series, discipleship series, this Tuesday night called A Man in His Fatherhood. I'm seeing more and more in my ministry today young men that are messed up because they didn't have a father or a grandfather who taught them the ways of God and exemplified the spiritual heritage to them. You know, I don't want to make that mistake. I may not be able to give my children much, but the greatest thing I can give them is the gift of a relationship with their Heavenly Father. If they can know their earthly father well enough that it brings them into the presence of their Heavenly Father, then I'll die a happy man. And I see so many people lately who are dying, and they struggle with their own faith, much less the faith of their children or their grandchildren. And that's a disaster. And for those of us who have a godly heritage and a spiritual heritage, as God was revealing himself to Jacob here, we need to thank God every day for it. And we need to, God tells us in his word, to whom much is given, much is required. And you don't need to wallow around. You need to go forward with a strong, fervent faith. The way God was stirring Jacob's heart, even here, through this redeeming revelation. Has God given you a redeeming revelation? Have you come to an end of yourself to the point where you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he has awakened your faith to the point where you can believe in him? Abraham believed in God and it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. And he'll do the same for you and me if our faith will be genuine and we will truly believe in God. The promises for the future, he just lays them out. He says, first of all, the land on which you're on right now, he said, I'm going to give this land to you and your offspring. And so he was fulfilling the covenant that he had made to Abraham and to Isaac. Now it was falling on Jacob. And he was telling him all about the land of promise. He said, your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. I will multiply you greatly, is what God was telling him. What a glorious redeeming revelation that is. This is not just about your faith. It's about the faith of your children and your grandchildren and your spiritual heritage and the family of God. There's so much more at stake here than just us walking with God. It's generational, and that's the way God has worked it into our very lives, so that we would continue to have a succession of faith and pass it off. And then the biggie in the promise, as I'll call it here, he said to you, through you and your offspring, Jacob, he said, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Man, that is a great prophetic revelation right there. Because one of the children that would soon be born to Jacob, once he met his wife, and if you hadn't read that, you need to read it. One of those children's name was going to be Judah. And it was through the tribe of Judah that the Messiah would be born. We hear a lot about Joseph. It's kind of interesting as you start reading about Joseph. I think the last day of reading this week and into next week, Joseph was that dreamer, and we'll probably preach on him next Sunday night. That'll be our Super Bowl message, amen? We'll stir up something big on Joseph. But Joseph had some issues himself, and he had some dreams, and I don't know how all that went down, but he made his brothers very jealous, and so they decided that they were going to kill him. And so they threw him in this big pit, and they were kind of figuring out, I guess, how they were going to kill him. But if you'll notice in that passage when they threw him in the pit, I find this very interesting. It was his brother Judah that spoke up and said, let's not harm the child. And it's through the tribe of Judah that our Savior came and dwelt among us so that we ourselves would not be harmed. Isn't that amazing? The way God works. And he gives us these great promises. And then he promised Jacob own in this promise, this redeeming revelation that occurred. He said, I will be with you and I will keep you wherever you go. What a great promise that is. That promise is reiterated to us throughout Scripture many other times. Jacob was learning to walk by faith. He was learning to obey God regardless of the circumstances and the consequences. This was a journey of faith for him, and he didn't understand it all. But as God was revealing these great promises, and he ended up that one, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. He said God's presence and God's power would always be there to protect and provide for Jacob. And so God was promising Jacob that. Well, folks, God has promised us that. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's told us that throughout Scripture. And when we see these promises of God, this land is your land. And he's given us a great spiritual inheritance also. Not in this world as we currently know it, but in our eternal abode that God promises us. That wonderful, great, eternal inheritance that God has promised to all of His children. That where I am, there you may be with me. And I go and prepare a place for you, and one day you can come and you can be with me. God gives us many promises. And so as Jacob was sitting there and he was listening to these promises of God, and I like to think about this as God was giving him this redeeming revelation and awakening Jacob to the greatness of who he was. You know what these promises ended up being for Jacob, and they end up being for you and me? They are fuel that ignite our faith. Fuel that ignite our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Jacob, he was getting excited. He was beginning to come to. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to see that kind of vision, to have that kind of revelation. And it would be the start of many. He would have many more encounters with God, as we'll see through the rest of his life. And you can see that even in your reading. But Jacob's response to this in verse 16, as we see here, Jacob just, he awoke from his sleep and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not even know it." Boy, what an encounter with God. You know, God tells us, and one of the great attributes of God is that He's everywhere at all times. It's called His omnipresence. He's omnipresent. And Jacob said, "Surely God was here." And I didn't even realize it. And boy, doesn't that scare me and kind of challenge me to the core of my being to say, "God, please, God, open my eyes and open my heart to be aware of your presence in and around my life in a greater way." And when we're really struggling with God, I sense that God is so gracious and so merciful, He'll give us some kind of special connection and special encounter. Of course, any day and every day could be very special in your encounters with God if you'd just take the time to let it be. That's the God we serve. He's a good God. He said, "Surely God was in this place and I didn't know it." And then it says, "And he was afraid." That reminds me of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, where God's word just tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. There needs to be a holy reverence and awe. Folks, when you meet with God, you're not going to leave that experience like you do just meeting with a friend. You're going to be forever changed. There's going to be times you're just going to be blown away. And it's just going to overwhelm you. And I get the sense that that's what was going on with Jacob at this moment. And I love the fact that God gives us these illustrations of how people have fresh encounters with God throughout the Scripture. And this was Jacob's on this occasion. And so Jacob said, as he was afraid and he was trying to figure out what to do with this redeeming revelation, he just responded, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." You know, but I want to tell you something here. Although that place was marked as a very special place in Jacob's life, I want to tell you, any place can be a special place in your life, because it's really not about the place. It's about the God who shows up in that place. It's God's presence that makes these places and our lives so special. When God shows up, He changes us, He challenges us, He brings us into His care, and He forever sets the course of our lives to have that genuine faith to follow Him the way He calls us to do. And so this redeeming revelation was more than we can really imagine. He said, "This is the house of God." This was very real. You know, the psalmist would later say, to attest to what I just told you about, it's not really the specific place, it's the God who shows up in that place that makes it a holy place. Psalm 90 in verse 1, the psalmist says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place all generations. God is our place. God is our refuge. God is our hiding place, the place we need to come back to again and again and again. And so the redeeming revelation, it progressed, and then in the very last section of our passage tonight, beginning in verse 18, we see his devoted dedication. He rose up early and he took that stone. He took that stone that had been a hard place, a hard pillow, and now he turned it into a holy altar. He took that stone that was under his head and he made it, set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz at first. And then in verse 20, we see that Jacob began to make a vow unto God. And so he poured this oil on there as a symbolic remembrance of him pouring his life out and devoting himself to God. And there's a time in our life where when we meet with God, we must respond to God. And we will respond to God every time God reveals himself to us, either in a holy manner or in an ungodly manner. If we ignore it and take it lightly, and we just go on our way, we'll be the ones that will bear the consequences of it. But Jacob took it so serious in beginning here in this passage in verse 20, He started just making this vow to God. He says, if God will be with me and will keep me the way he's revealed. And so what Jacob's basically doing in verse 20 is he's repeating basically back to what God had just showed him in this dream, beginning over here in verse 13, 14, and 15. And he's just sharing back to God. He said, God, you're going to be with me and you're going to provide for me all these things. And if you will really bring me back here to this land of promise, he says, I will honor you by giving you a tenth of everything you give me. And so Joseph began his walk with God in a serious manner and made this great vow to God. God, you're so good and you revealed yourself to me. And Jacob may have had a little bit of uncertainty. Some have said that's the reason he used the word if. But sometimes even in this word if, it almost has the meaning of since. Since, God, you are the God of my father. And you will be with me. You promised me. And his faith was beginning to blossom. And he was learning to feed his faith so that his faith would challenge every other area of his life. And God wasn't through with Jacob yet. Jacob had some other things that God was going to deal with along the way. But God was beginning the journey of his faith with this man that would end up fathering the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, in whom all the families of the world and the world would be blessed. And so tonight, as I look at this and I think about this, I just challenge you and just ask you, are you in a sobering situation? Do you find yourself sort of at moments between a rock and a hard place? Maybe you say, well, Brother Mike, everything's going real good for me right now. Well, really, is it? On what level is it going good for you? Is your faith vibrant and alive? As Brother Don shared this morning, are you sharing your faith and witnessing to others, or is that just something you say, I may do one day, God? You find yourself in a sobering situation because you're kind of in a rut and you've kind of been scheming. You've kind of been a little bit deceitful because you hadn't really been coming clean with God. And God might use just a simple message like this on a Sunday night to just speak to your heart and give you a redeeming revelation of himself. It's not me you need. It's not Brother Don you need. We're just God's servants. It's God you need. It's God we all need. And when we really encounter God, it will change the course of our lives. We can't go back to just living life the way we used to. It'll make a difference in our devotion to God. Let's stand together, and Brother Darrell's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation this evening. Brother Don and I'll be here in the altar. His name, Israel. God would make a nation of him. Isn't it amazing? Always think about this in passages like this. What God can do through the faith of one man, one lady, one person who sincerely sells out to God and seeks to live for God and walk for God. I think it was D.L. Moody who once said, "The world has yet to see what God could really do through one man totally committed to God." But with God's help, D.L. Moody said, "I will be that man." I hope tonight that's your heart as well. As we sing, we're here in the altar to pray with you.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord.